Well, good morning, everyone. As you can see from the screen, we're going to be in Hebrews. You might want to turn there. While you're doing that, I want to just say, hey, how about them Rangers? Rangers won the World Series. I didn't realize it, but having belonged to the Washington, or being the Washington Senators, they had started 63 seasons ago and have never won a World Series until this year when they had become the Texas Rangers. I was in high school the year that they brought the Rangers to Arlington. I was in Arlington at the high school there, and kind of followed them off and on for a period of time. Just before I came here to preach, they had been in the World Series before, and two years in a row, and just kind of lost the last minute. You know, it's one of those kind of things where you're looking forward to it, and then it's all over, and then they went back downhill, so... It's really good to have seen them get to where they were. And if you want to know what I've been doing the last few days before, during that period, I've been watching the Rangers. That's been really good, and I've been having a great time. And if you haven't, it's okay. We'll have an invitation song for you in just a little while. You come on forward, you know. Truly, another baseball story, though. This was kind of a cute one. It has to do with bitterness and holding grudges. One year, Dave Hagler was working as an umpire in a rec baseball league in Boulder, Colorado. Unfortunately, one day, he was pulled over for speeding. He tried to talk the police officer and just giving him a warning ticket, you know, letting him know that his insurance might go up and stuff, and so please give me a little leniency. But the officer wouldn't listen, and he was relentless, and he told Dave that he could take that matter up with the court system. And that here was his ticket. And so turned out next year, the year later, the baseball season opened again, and there was Dave umpiring in a game behind home plate. And when he recognized coming up to bat that very same police officer, and the police officer asked him, recognized him too, and asked him, you know, how things worked out with a ticket and how did it turn out for him. And Dave simply replied, "You better swing at everything." It's going to all be strikes. You got to think about that one for a minute. But it's the idea of holding a grudge, you know, we were talking about. Bitterness, resentfulness. How many of us haven't at some point, and you don't want to raise your hand on this one, but have felt some resentment at times, you know? Maybe we've been slighted for a job promotion, somebody else got the job, or maybe somebody has done something to us, and for a period of time, we kind of held it against them. That's the idea of holding a grudge or feeling some bitterness towards somebody or being resentful. It's a human reaction. That's not a good human reaction, which is why our text here in Hebrews tells us that we ought not to have bitterness. And in fact, he says, and I'll read verse 14 and 15, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." And then here's our line, verse 15, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many." He goes on with other things, but we want to stop with the idea of bitterness. See to it that no bitter root grows up and causes some problems in people's life. And so the Bible has something to say to us more than here, but especially here, on this really important topic for all of us. We think about how we respond to different things, and being bitter is something that the Lord does not want us to do. So I just got a couple of two or three thoughts. The first one is, bitterness needs immediate attention. I get that from the text, the first three words of verse 15. See to it. When somebody says to you, "See to it," what do they mean? You need to take care of this right now. You know, your boss, he tells you, "Hey, listen, I'm leaving and the shelves need to be replenished, so see to it that the shelves are restacked before going home tonight." You don't want to come back the next day and, having not done that, have to face the boss because he said, "See to it." Make sure you do this. Don't overlook this. It's that important. So it needs our immediate attention. If you look up into verse 14, Paul actually writes, really in the, as the caption for this whole paragraph, all the things that he says, make every effort. There's another emphasis. The first one was see to it. Make sure it gets done, that you don't overlook this. Now he's saying, make every effort. Don't waste time on other things. Make sure whatever, all the things he's going to talk about, but of course ours involved as well, bitterness. Make every effort. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. This is, of course, that overarching command in our context, but it shows us how important we need to deal with this topic in our lives. I read the story this week of airline pastors. It turns out it's actually a true story. And you've probably heard reports on some of these kinds of things where there was some really terrible storms in the airport and around the airport. And so all the airplanes had to remain on the ground before they took off and full of all their passengers. And if you've ever been in a delay on the airport tarmac, how horrible it is, you know. Sometimes the air conditioner's not working right or whatever, and you're sitting there and you're sitting there and you're sitting there. Well, they ended up sitting, this one particular group during this storm, 3 hours in the airplane. Now, it takes 3 hours to fly from here to Sacramento, California. And that's a long way. And imagine you're sitting on the tarmac the entire 3 hours. Well, the good news was that the pilot finally came on and said, we've been allowed to take off, but I want you to know we're 24th in line. Can you imagine even more time? And so, of course, the passengers were getting even more angry and complaining. And the flight attendant flipped on the radio, speaker, and happily announced to everybody that while we're waiting, we'll go ahead and start our in-flight movie. Turned out the title was Anger Management. You believe that? True story. And, of course, sometimes anger management is what we need, and that's what the scriptures are telling us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, kind of like this one here in Hebrews 12 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Get rid of it. You know, a few weeks ago, we had some of these little bitty tiny ants coming into our house. And they were found in a couple of different places, but on the kitchen counter. And just a few, you know, weren't a lot, and so nothing to worry about, right? You know, you just think, well, just, you know, wipe them off, kill them, and put them in the trash, and you're done, you know. Well, one day, there were all kinds of ants, those same ants, but oh, man, there must have been a million of them. Surely not that many, but there were, you know, thousands of them. And they were on the counter, and they were on everything. And, of course, it took a long time to clean them up. They were coming in through the window. And so I went outside, and I put poison down on the ground. And in another place on the counter, we put those little drops of, I forget what that stuff's called, but it's stuff that ants can take, and they'll take it back to their nest. And eventually, you know, it was all gone. So that's kind of like the idea of bitterness, that bitterness can grow up and can become even worse. If you notice, bitterness can stay alive and grow is what he's saying when he uses this term. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up. The bitter root growing up is kind of what caught my attention. The idea that no matter, it can be unseen, but it can be growing underneath the surface, and before you know it, it pops up. And unless you do something about the root, it's going to keep doing it. I've got a semi-dead stump in my front yard. At least it was for a while. During that big freeze a couple of years, it seems like I get confused now which really bad thing happened because they all sort of piled together. But the one that killed all the trees, you know, in town, it was so cold and we lost power. Most of you, probably part of this, lost power for 4 or 5 days. We lost power and water for really literally 4 or 5 days and kept warm by the fireplace. Well, it killed this tree. And that's too bad because that tree was on the side of the house where there was no other shade. And so we lost the tree and somebody had to come to cut it down. And they left the root, you know, the stump, and of course then the roots. And this is one of those tenacious kind of trees, kind of like a mimosa. My wife loves mimosas, and I understand they smell so good and everything like that. But boy, they grow like weeds. They pop up from all the roots. Well, this tree is that kind of a tree too. It's not a mimosa tree. I don't remember what it was. But once spring came, dead stump, you think, but no. Pieces of that tree started growing up. And I'd leave it alone for a while because I'm lazy. And it would grow 2 or 3 feet, you know, and out of different directions. It would become a little, cute little bush, you know. And I thought for a while maybe I ought to just keep it that way. But no, I cut it all down, got rid of it again. Well, guess what happened? Came back up. Yeah. Not only that, but it started to come up over near the house. So evidently there was a root over toward the house. And there was one growing up underneath by one of the bedroom windows. Well, because it was growing up from the root. And that's the whole point here. This idea of bitterness is something that can be hidden. It can be then also kept alive if we're not careful. You ever known anybody who's kept a grudge for a long time? You should all be nodding your heads yes, because surely, it's just common. That's why he says don't let it grow. Because it is common that it's going to grow. Bitterness growing from underground is kind of like bamboo. You ever tried to get rid of bamboo? Bamboo's the same way. It just starts spreading and coming up. And the only way to get rid of it is to put some kind of lid on it, you know, some piece of metal or something, and that'll keep it from growing any further. But that's bitterness. It's like a tree stump that still wants to stay alive and keeps growing. And someone wrote, no matter how long you nurse a grudge, it won't get better. And so if we just continue to hold on to it and to nurse it, if you will, it's not going to get any better. It's going to really get worse. That's what Paul is saying here. This bitter root grows up, and it can become even more serious. That's why James talks about bitterness as well. And James 3:14, he calls it harboring. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast about it and don't deny the truth. But it's that word again, inspired by the Holy Spirit, don't harbor. What does it mean to harbor something? Well, you know, it means to protect it. You know, we put a ship in the harbor so that when the storms come by, the harbor doesn't get as shaken up, and so the ship is saved. It's preserved. We also keep it there and close to us because, you know, we want it close to us. We want to protect it. We want to preserve it. We want to hide it. And that's why James says, if you harbor bitter envy. So it's something that we actually kind of like to keep. That's why we know people, and maybe we've been this way too, where we've kept resentment and we've held grudges for, seems like forever, because we have a tendency to want to harbor it, preserve it, to hold on to it, because we feel justified. You know, I wanted that job, and I was qualified for that job, and that person got the job, and I hate their guts because of that. Or at least I'm annoyed by that person, and I resent this happening to me. And so we carry that over time because we feel justified in it, in resentment. And yet the Bible says we ought not. James, Job 36:13 says, the godless at heart, and he uses the same word, harbors resentment. The godless at heart harbors resentment. And so can you think in your own life, is there a place where I still hold some kind of grudge? Is there some place where I feel, or some person I feel resentment toward? Maybe it's a whole group of people, you know, somebody who's gotten ahead when you wished you could and you didn't. And so you tend to kind of resent those people, you know. Even that is something that we might need to work on and look at in our life. We tend to want to hang on to things like that, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, but then again it does. You know, when you're in it, you feel justified, and you want to hold on to it, you want to harbor it, and yet the scripture says don't do that, get rid of it, because it only gets worse. Finally, the Apostle Paul says this, and that is that bitterness can damage beyond imagination. It can damage things beyond repair. It is something that can cause harm in families, can cause harm in church families, can cause harm between us and friends. When we have this bitterness, it can cause a lot of damage. Notice the text again. See to it, shows the importance, that no one falls short of the grace of God, and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So underline those two last thoughts in your mind. Here's why it's so important to get rid of it. First of all, we've got to get rid of it from the root up, so completely get it out, because it'll pop right back up again. It is tenacious. It's like a weed in our hearts, but it will cause trouble if we don't. That's why it's important not to have bitterness in our hearts, not to feel grudges, hold grudges, not to feel resentment towards someone else. For whatever reason, we may feel justified again, and we might even be justified temporarily. I mean, not that it's ever right to be resentful, but we might feel it so much. But it causes trouble, divides people. It threatens, he says here, our holiness. Look at verse 14 again. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone, to be holy, because he says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Wouldn't you think that it's unholy to be a resentful person? Don't you think it would be unholy? Yeah, it would. And so it can affect our holiness. We want to be holy before God. God tells us to be holy like He's holy. But when we hold bitterness, that affects our holiness. And so that's the first part. And then the next one, see to it that no one, and here it is, falls short of the grace of God. There may come a time when we go beyond our behavior as Christians in dabbling in sin, that we begin to harbor a grudge that moves us away from and holds us then accountable to God's judgment. A Christian can become so resentful and so built up with bitterness that it separates them from the grace of God. It causes us to fall short of the grace of God. Even after everything we read in the book of Romans that tells us about grace and how wonderful it is, we can go to the point where we sin beyond grace, and grace is no longer something that will cover that sin. So the bitterness that grows up as a root, from a root, can be something that if we harbor it and we hold on to it and we don't get rid of it, as Ephesians 4 says, threatens our holiness and threatens our standing in God's grace. And then, of course, as we said already, causes trouble and defiles many. And so it's not something to take casually as people of God. It's something that for us to look at and realize how important it is. No wonder Scripture calls us to not let it grow and to cause trouble, to get rid of it, and again, to don't let it grow. He's talking about forgiveness. What resentment takes is forgiveness. And we need to forgive those who sin against us, the Bible says, even if they don't come to us and ask us for their forgiveness. Nevertheless, it's on our side, instead of holding a grudge or feeling this resentment and being bitter toward that person, And what we need to do is just let it go and forgive people. And it's going to be better on us personally. We're going to feel better. You know, we got that cleansed out. It's one of those dark things in our hearts, and we get rid of it, and we're going to feel a lot better. We're going to let go of it. We're not going to have that bitterness. It's kind of like, you know, stopping that bamboo from growing. We put a lid on it, you know, so it doesn't go any further. We've gotten rid of it. Serious subject that the Bible teaches here, and something for us to remember, because it can happen to us. It can happen to us again and affect our family life, affect our relationships with others, affect our church life. And so let's do everything that we can, look at our lives, and make sure that that's not something that we have in our heart, something we're not harboring, as the scriptures teach us. We're going to sing an invitation song, and if you have a need to respond, you need the prayers of the church, maybe to be encouraged in this area, then we invite you to come as we stand to sing this song.